thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. We thank you, our Father, again tonight for the privilege that we have to study the Word of God together. We thank you for the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent to be our Redeemer. For the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you for the written Word that you have given to us by your Holy Spirit to unveil and to unfold and to reveal the living Word unto our spirits. We pray again tonight for this congregation assembled here and for everyone that's on the satellite network, that each one will have a listening ear and an open mind and a receptive heart to your holy Word. And as sincerely and as humbly as we know how to pray, we pray not my will, but thy will be done. Not my name, but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be magnified and glorified. Hallelujah. Speak to our hearts tonight and help all of us, not just to be hearers of the Word only, but to be doers of the Word, walking in the light of the Word of God, becoming recipients of all that you have provided and all that you have promised. And we'll give all praise and all honor and all glory for everything that's wrought unto the worthy and majestic name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in His name we pray. Amen. Praise God. As you're seated here and as you're seated there, turn shake hands with your neighbor again. Smile real big and say, God bless you. I'm glad you came tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, we praise God for another Holy Ghost seminar. Seemed like we just got started, doesn't it? And here we are at the end. Tomorrow night, here in this class, at 7 o'clock, we'll have the final lesson. And this is the last night that we'll be on the satellite, because we do not like to take anything away from the local church. We need the local church. And they need their Sunday services. Praise God. And that's one reason that we didn't go on Sunday. We encourage people to support their church, support the local church. Some folks said, well, I don't have any church. Well, that's where you were missing it. Amen. You know, the Lord dealt with me. Here, He had dealt with me. You fall into some things sometimes, if you're not careful, that God didn't call you to do. Might be a good thing. That's the reason we get in trouble. But the Lord dealt with me. We were praying last year about, because we got our prayer and healing center building completed last March. We moved into it somewhere along there, I think. And so we asked the group here who would meet on weeknight to pray, to help us pray. We were thinking about some changes and doing some things we intended to do all the time, but just couldn't do till we got our own building. And we had prayer, and folks could phone in for prayer, all right, and healing. But somewhere or another, we fell into a counseling thing. And so as I was kneeling right here praying, the Lord said, that's not what I called you to do. And I told you prayer and healing, never said a word about counseling. Don't you counsel anybody except folks of your own sheepfold right here in school. People out there need to be counseled in their own sheepfold. Well, you know, we'd call it church, but the Lord called it sheepfold. People out there need to be counseled in their own sheepfold. After all, they're living there. They phone in here and tell you something. You just know one side of it. How could you want to counsel them? And then He said to me, as I knelt right over there in that furthest chair, He said, if they don't have a sheepfold, that's their main problem. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching real good now. If you don't have a sheepfold, you know what a sheepfold is? That's the church, a local church where you're supposed to go to church. If you don't have one, that's your main problem. So you'll have to work on the main problem before you get the minor problem settled. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, if you can't say amen, say oh me, it's all so anyhow. Praise God. All right. We appreciate all of you out there. And the Lord willing, we'll see you in the spring with the prayer seminar. Now, during this seminar, we've used two particular verses for a text. We followed one main line of thought, and of course they will lap over, you understand that. but one line of thought in the daytime, another line at nighttime. But you on the satellite were not, of course, with us in the daytime, but really to get the most out of this seminar, and we're not trying to sell tapes, that's not the purpose at all, but we need to get the message to you, you know, and you need to hear what went before to be able to understand the next Bible lesson as you should understand it. We've used two texts, John, the 16th chapter. Each one of them had two verses. John, the 14th chapter, the 16th verse, and the 17th verse, where Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you or send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And then he went on to say in the next verse, the 17th, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you." Then in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, and in the fifth verse, Jesus said to his disciples, "John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, I want to reiterate that he said that to people whom in John's Gospel, the 21st chapter, 22nd verse, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So they'd already received the Holy Ghost. And yet to those same people, he said, "Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Then speaking of that experience, in Acts 1:8, he said, "But after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So one could readily see from these scriptures that there is a twofold work of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. So in the day service, we followed the thought of the Spirit within. And in the night service, the thought of the Spirit upon. You'll notice that Jesus promised the Spirit within, but he also promised the Spirit upon. He said he will be in you. And then he said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. Now then, I've pointed this out also, that it is rather significant that we have two groups of nine in connection with the works of the Spirit. One of them might be referred to as a result of the indwelling Spirit, the Holy Ghost in the Spirit and life of every born-again believer, and is mentioned in Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 22nd, 23rd verse, as the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. It reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith," or the Greek word is actually faithfulness, "meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." That's a result of the indwelling Spirit. Now the second one, we are taught, also we have a list of nine in connection with it. We are taught that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, and here also we have a group of nine. Now, you could turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll look again into that chapter. You'll notice that he said, "But the manifestation," 7th verse of the 12th chapter, "but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Now notice that he calls these nine that he's about to list, he calls them manifestations of the Spirit. He had just said in the previous verses, verse 4 and 5 and 6, he said, "There are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but it's the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God." Then the next verse, "But the manifestation." So you see, really, we are sort of climbing the mountain up the other side. I made mention of the fact years ago when I first started my ministry as a Baptist boy preacher and pastor, I heard a Baptist preacher and professor, he taught also in the seminary, he said, "Discussing Bible doctrines and subjects sometimes is like climbing a mountain. You climb the mountain up one side and you got one view. You climb, for instance, the south side of the mountain. Well, you climb the mountain from the south side, you have a view that the north side doesn't have. Then you climb the same mountain, it's the same doctrine, it's the same mountain. Up the north side, you got an entirely different view. It's all the same doctrine, it's all the same truth. Are you listening to me? So what I'm doing is sort of climbing the mountain on another side here. Are you following me? And so actually, he calls all of them not gifts of the Spirit, but manifestations of the Spirit. And there are actually three divisions. They're divided into gifts, administrations, and operations. He says that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but the same God. So really he's talking about gifts, administrations, and operations. All of them are manifestations of the Holy Ghost. All right. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now he's listing these nine manifestations. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh. Hallelujah. This is the way the Spirit works. All these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Now, from the scriptures that we read now in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit, from the scriptures that we read here from 1 Corinthians 12 about the manifestation of the Spirit, we can readily conclude this, that the indwelling of the Spirit is for fruit bearing. Hallelujah. And the outpouring of the Spirit is for service. And that's what Jesus said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, shall receive power to be witnesses unto me. Praise God. Now this introduces us to the fact that the baptism with the Holy Ghost that Jesus was talking about in the first chapter of Acts, and that they received on the day of Pentecost, is the one and the only way in which we are given the complete ninefold manifestation of the Spirit. Praise God. So there are diversities of gifts. There are differences of administrations. There are diversities of operations. But it's the same Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. We went with you through the scriptures, noticing this fact that in the Greek Testament, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, that there are four different Greek words translated gift. And we covered that in one lesson, you know. And by applying that to this, we find that there are four of these manifestations that are really gifts. Now again, we come back to this fact that in the English language, a lot of times we, speaking as a figure of speech, words mean one thing. Speaking specifically, they mean something else. I'll use my illustration again with the word miracle. We talk about miracle drugs, miracle fabrics, miracle this, miracle that. Well, as a figure of speech, you see. But specifically, none of them are miracles, because a miracle is a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature. Amen? So then, it is with the word gift. The way we use gift or gift in the English language, it just covers all kinds of giving. Well, of course, the manifestation is given from that standpoint, generally speaking, a gift. Specifically speaking, however, there are four of these that are actually gift. This fourth Greek word means a divine, an endowment, or divine faculty, supernatural faculty. Hallelujah. And so, you'll find that in this dispensation, there is given to the church, therefore available to every believer, a threefold manifestation of the prophetic gift. Now, he lists prophecy, speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues. You see, all three of them are actually prophecy in its varied form. Prophecy means inspired utterance. All of them are inspired utterance. One of them, speaking with tongues, is inspired utterance in an unknown tongue. That is unknown to you, nearly always unknown to the hearer. Interpretation of tongues as inspired utterance, giving forth the meaning of that which was said in tongues. Prophecy is inspired utterance in a known tongue. All of them, as I said, are prophecy. Tongues and interpretation are really prophecy in its varied form. Notice that 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Notice something Paul said there. Greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Therefore, he's saying that tongues and interpretation are equivalent to prophecy, doesn't he? Are you following me? Now then, prophecy, tongues, interpretation are gifts to the church and available to every member. First of all, everybody baptized with the Holy Ghost speaks with other tongues. Now somebody said, now what about that over there though, this diverse kind of tongue business? Well, speaking with tongues and worshiping and serving God is a part of diverse kinds of tongues. They're all the same in essence, but different in purpose and use. You see, in the end of that chapter, he said God has set in the church first apostles. Now he's talking about ministries. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Quite obvious they're not. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Well, see, everybody don't talk to. Wait a minute, what's he talking about tongues though? Being filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues? No. Ministering tongues. Now here's where even full gospel people have missed it. He's not talking about here some layman giving an utterance in tongues and somebody interpret it in church. That's scriptural, all right. He's talking about folks in the ministry who have a ministry of ministering with tongues and interpretation that approximates with the prophet's ministry. First time I ever saw anointing, way back in 1937, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and came over to Pentecostal Church in 1938, and I saw Brother and Sister Goodwin with that kind of a ministry. I never saw anybody else. They were pastors, Assembly of God Church, when I first knew him in Greenville, Texas. I preached through the many years that he pastored. I preached many revivals for him. And a lot of times, I would have people that would come from a distance to be in my meeting. I'll give you an illustration. What I mean about ministering tongues with interpretation. I had just held a meeting in Beaumont, Texas, for instance, in January of 1960. '61. And then I came over to Pasadena, Texas, suburb of Houston, and in Brother Goodwin's church for a meeting. People came over from Beaumont to visit the meeting. One night, there was a lady that was a member of the church that we just came from, that one day she took my wife and I to lunch, and her husband was out of fellowship. He didn't come, though he had been saved and so on, but some things had happened. He's a businessman in the city, and he did not come to a single service in the city when I was there. And so she took us out one day, not to tell off on her husband, but to ask us to pray for him, because there were some things that had happened, and there were some people that had done him an injustice, and being a baby Christian, he let it bother him, and so on. She just wanted us to pray, you see. And then the whole thing had affected his business, and had affected their marriage, and you could understand that. But now he came all the way, you see, from the other city, the way they had to come then. They got a new freeway there now, but the way they had to come then, well, was, 90 miles or so, or almost 100. And so they came over, carload of them, to visit the meeting. Well, now I came to the end of my service, and the Lord said to me to minister to this couple. So I called them down there, along with some more people, to minister personally to. I could have ministered with them. I said, now there is a ministry of tongues and interpretation that approximates the prophet's ministry. I could have ministered with the prophet's ministry and could have told them exactly their problem. But then when they got away, actually I saw a little mini. I started to minister to them, and right in front of me, instead of seeing them, I saw a little vision. And I saw them going down the highway home, and I saw the devil talking to her and said, well, now, yeah, but now Brother Hagin knew, because I talked to him and his wife, and he knew part of that. So you see, it wouldn't be the devil to tell her that's not supernatural. Now, they'd never been to the church before. They had heard of Brother and Sister Goodwin, but they did not know Brother and Sister Goodwin. They met him after the service was over. So the Lord said to me, have Brother and Sister Goodwin to come and minister to them. You see, I stood in the office of the prophet. They ministered with tongues and interpretation, which is a different thing entirely of a believer being filled with the Spirit and praying in tongues and worshiping God in tongues and singing in tongues, and even different than a layman giving what we call a message in tongues. Are you listening to me now? So they came, and they laid hands upon them. I stood right there by them. And she began to speak with other tongues, and did speak with other tongues. Then he began to interpret. My, my, my. I assured her afterwards, he didn't know about it, that I hadn't said one word to him. He told exactly what she had told me, word for word, about him. Now, you understand this? Some of this is personal. So they had folks to sing, so the congregation can't ever hear everything that's being said, you see. Not only told them what all their problem was, but then the Spirit of God gave them the answer. Hallelujah. You see, I've seen them in my meetings line up 19 people. The Lord said to me, have them to minister. I could have ministered through the office of the prophet to them. But they came right down the line, ministered to each one of them. Many of them were strangers. I knew some of the people. That's the reason I had them to minister to. There is a ministry along that line that we fail to recognize as we should. Are you listening to me? That has robbed us of some blessings that God intended we should have. Now, you see, there is the ministry. This tongues of interpretation approximates that ministry. I was holding a meeting over here in Kansas. I'll show you the prophet's ministry now. I was holding a meeting over here in Kansas in the Assembly of God Church several years ago. And there was a little, there's just two churches, Pentecostal church in town, the Assembly of God Church and the Independent Pentecostal Church. And the Independent Pentecostal Church cooperated with the meeting. They didn't dismiss the Sunday service, but dismissed every other service and came. And so the last night of the meeting, which we closed out on Wednesday night, this pastor's wife of the Independent Church said to me, in fact, I was here on the platform getting up, but I wasn't a high platform like this, you know, a little small church auditorium. And she came up there and shook him, enjoyed it, and so on. And then she began to cry. She held on my hand and said, Brother Hagin, I want you to pray for me. Well, I said, what for? I'd like to know what I'm praying about, see. She said, well, let me tell you, she said, when I first got... Now, when she said that, suddenly the revelation began to come up inside me. I said, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, sister, wait a minute, wait a minute. Now then, you could tell me what your problem is. But if you told me what your problem is, and I could give you an answer, because I know the Bible, or the Spirit of God might inspire me to give you an answer. But then, you see, the devil could trick you and say, well, yeah, that's just Brother Hagin talking. But now, wait just a minute. If I can supernaturally tell you what your problem is, and supernaturally give you that, then you know that God loves you, because he's moved supernaturally to help you. Well, she said, that would be right exactly. All right, I said, if I miss it, tell me I missed it. I said, just after you first got saved. See, that's all she said, just after I first got saved. I said, after you first got saved and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues, you told a lie. Her eyes got bigger, mouth fell open, said, well, you must be a fortune teller, a mind reader. That's exactly what happened. No, I said, I'm not telling you fortune or reading your mind either. I didn't get it out of my mind. I got it out of my spirit. It came up inside me. I said, ever since then, the devil has told you you've committed an unpardonable sin. Then afterwards, your husband got saved. He wasn't saved back there then. He got saved, got baptized the Holy Ghost. God called him to preach. He went out in the ministry, and you've gone with him. And every now and then you'll get under condemnation. And then I got my eyes wide open looking right at her. Got my eyes, you see, wide open looking right at her. But instead of her face, now I didn't know where their church was. I didn't know where their parsonage was. But I said, your parsonage here, I haven't seen it. But for 3 weeks at a time, you'll have such splitting headaches because you're under such a spirit of depression. And I described the house. You'll shut yourself up in the front bedroom. Pull the blinds. You can't stand the light. And stay in that room 3 weeks at a time. I saw it right in front of me. She said, well, you're just exactly right. You see, God moved supernaturally to help her. I said, now here's the answer. I gave her what the Spirit of God gave me. Praise God, to liberate her and to set her free. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, here's what I want to say to you, though. There is a ministry of tongues with interpretation that doesn't belong to everybody. Are you listening to me now? But every believer You see, all of the tongues is included in the divers kinds, because that's plural, all kinds. Every believer may be filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, pray in other tongues, worship God in other tongues, sing in other tongues in their own private prayer life for their own special and particular edification. Praise God. Are you listening to me? And every believer ought to. That's available to all. But all may not necessarily minister tongues. And then all may interpret. Interpretation belongs to all. Now why? Look in that 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians again and notice what the Lord said. He said, if any man speak an unknown tongue, let him interpret. 13th verse. Let him pray that he may interpret. Would God tell you to pray for something you couldn't have? I don't believe God's stupid, do you? Then interpretation must be available to you then. And then prophecy is available to every believer. In that 14th chapter, he said, you may all prophesy one by one. Didn't he? I said, didn't he? So all three of those vocal gifts, which are bona fide gifts, are available, can be claimed by any and every believer. Now I'm coming to something else, and I'll answer it for you. Also, gifts of healings. Naturally, it says they're gifts. Special endowment. Or endowment are a special faculty, supernatural faculty. Now, any believer can go in faith and pray for folks. All do not have gifts of healing, certainly. That's an office. But yet, anybody could stand temporarily in that office as God willed. I was reading, I have some old periodicals. An older minister of the gospel, 70-some-odd years of age now, sent me some just here. A number of times he sent me several. And just here a while back, I haven't gone through all of them. They're in my desk over in the office. Old periodicals, like old Pentecostal evangels, way back in the 20s. And way back in 1916, you know, the beginning, when the Assemblies of God, you see, they organized in 1914, a little organization over here in Hot Springs, Arkansas, but they really didn't get going good about 1916. I think, really, I do not know, but I think 1916 is the first time that the periodical came out. And in those days, I want to show you something about it. That even children can be used in gifts. And so the first superintendent of the Assemblies of God, I've got that all on record right over here in my office, you see. He had, and the office was first in St. Louis before they moved to Springfield. And he sort of developed a heart condition or something. Well, these old time Pentecostals, they just sort of trusted God till they died. You know, they didn't resort to medical science. And so they were meeting, praying every night, trying to carry on everything. He got sicker and sicker and worse and worse. And the preachers laid hands on him. One night, while they were all praying, one of the other ministers, the officials, a little 5-year-old boy that was saved, filled with the Spirit. I know of ministers of the gospel that got born again, baptized, Holy Ghost, spoke, and called to preach, and is 4 years old, still preaching today. I'm thinking of one right now that's about in the early 70s and still preaching. Glory to God. I heard them say, I was born again in the altar and was 4 years old, baptized the Holy Ghost, and felt the call to preach. Hallelujah. Now here, this little 5-year-old boy, they're all praying, you know, and he's playing around there. But he got to pray to God. Suddenly, the Spirit of God moved on him. And he marched over there to this man, laid hands on him, said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And instantly he's healed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Instantly he was healed. Now you see, gifts of healings are supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost through one individual to another. Are you following me now? You see, you could go in faith and pray for anybody. We've seen a lot of people heal that way. Go teach them the word. You see, when I first came into Pentecostal movement, before I ever came in, I met an older lady that was 82 years of age at the time. And she had a marvelous, if you want to call it that, healing ministry, and yet she's not a minister at all. Like she said to me, I never did learn to read and write. My folks, you see, because 1935, she's 82. Well, that means if you'll take that back, you know, that she way back there, you know, when they're settling up Texas, her parents brought her as a little baby out to Texas. You could get land, you know, just by settling on it. And they settled up acres of land, finally became, you know, quite affluent. But she said it was 80 miles to the nearest school. Well, how are you going to go to school and ride a horse or a donkey or something 80 miles there and 80 miles back? You're not. So I never went to school a day in my life. Grew up out there on the farm and married a neighbor country boy. his folks, you know, and he didn't have any education either, even though they had been taught to write their name. And she said, then we settled on some of the land was given to us that our parents had. And in fact, her husband was running a lot of land, several farms, not only his own, but others he'd leased. And said, somebody came along, you know, though, out in the country preaching. And she got saved, baptized, Holy Ghost. Said, the minute she's baptized, Holy Ghost, I could read the Bible. You're having trouble reading it all because you read it fluently. I held a meeting for a preacher. He never got out of the second grade. Now, it wasn't because he's dumb. It's because the family had a problem. He couldn't go to school. He had to go to work. And that fellow could read the Bible just perfect. Preach. And he and I would set up after I'd preach. We'd set up all night and talk and read to one another. And I finally realized I'm doing all the reading. And I said to him, here, you read a while. And he said, Brother Hagin, I can't read. Well, I said, I know better. Here you're quoting scripture and reading scripture just perfect. Well, he said, I can read. After I got to baptism, the Lord taught me to read. I can read the Bible, can't read anything else much. Oh, I know better. I handed him the book, and he started reading. Well, he read like a second grade. He'd read a sentence, and he'd spell it. I mean, I'd have to pronounce it. And he'd try to pronounce it. I'll tell you, it took him, it seemed to me like, forever to get through one paragraph. Finally, I grabbed it. I said, give it to me. I'll just read too. The Holy Ghost taught her to read. She said, I've never read anything in my life but the Bible. Wigglesworth, you know, was about the same boat. He went to work over there in England as a child in a factory when he was 6 years old. Never went to school a day in his life. Never read anything but the Bible. I think sometimes we'd be better off if we'd never read anything but the Bible. Amen. And so, anyway, this woman told me, because I heard about her getting so many people healed, and just spread all over, you see, the country, the north part of Texas, North Texas. And she said, well, no, I'm not anointed, don't have any call, not a preacher, never, you know. I just go read the Bible to people. In those days, people were sick in their homes, you know. And I just get out, you know, and my husband and the younger ones were grown. Boys at home, you see. Hadn't married, but they're in their 20s. They'd go out on the farm. They moved into town. They'd go out on the farm to work the farms, you know, and she's there all day long till they come in late in the afternoon. I'd be through with my work by 9 o'clock, you know, the house cleaned up and there all day long. So I'd catch a streetcar. I had streetcars in those days. Right across the city, part of the town and city I'd never been in. Just go up and down the streets. I'd work from 9 to 3 every day, 5 days a week. And just knock on the street. I'd knock on the door. Said, you got anybody sick here? No? Well, you know anybody on the block that's sick? Well, yeah, right across the street there. I mean, there's a lady there. She's been bedfast for a year. I'd go visit her. I'd read the Bible to her. I'd just tell her, well, honey, the Lord sent me to visit and cheer you up. First one I went to visit, never said a word about healing usually. Usually it'd be about the third trip before I said anything about healing. But I'd read some scriptures that said something about healing, but I wouldn't say anything. Now listen, what she said to me. No calling, no anointing, no gifts of the healings operating through her, which they do, of course, through some. But she said, the people I was visiting were all given up to die by medical science. I very seldom failed to get one of them healed. Brother, that's phenomenal success, isn't it? Amen. Just reading the word to them, believing the Bible, getting them to believe it. Well, you'd get people healed that way. Yet, right on the other hand, you may suddenly, God may see fit to suddenly allow you to stand for a moment in that office. And suddenly the gifts start flowing to you. You've been conscious of the fact, haven't you? Practically, you spirit-filled people. You've been conscious of the fact. I was never conscious before of any power. I got people healed as Baptists, laid hands on them, anointed with oil, through faith, never felt a thing. After I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, there would be times when I'd minister to people that sometimes, and that's before God ever gave me the special anointing, which is the same anointing, except it's multiplied about 100-fold. See, it's the same Spirit that does all of it. All right, listen to me. But I'd feel the power of God sometimes come down my arms and shoulders and out my hands into people and then jump and be healed instantly. Now, at other times, you'd feel the power of God all over you. It seemed to me like there was an invisible something that jumped out of my body into them and they're instantly healed. See, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Ghost manifest himself in gifts of healings. Can you understand that? Can you understand that? And see, those that, see, this belongs to the church. Praise God. We've established fact, and you can see beyond all doubt that every believer can speak with tongues, interpret, and prophesy. Everyone can. Now, I want you to see this, that if you've got enough faith, bless God, layman or whoever you are, After all, he said, these signs will follow them that are specially called to God. No, these signs will follow them to believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and shall recover. That can be done in faith. That can be done with the power of God. Are you following me now? Follow who? Them that believe. If you'll have enough faith, bless God, just to step out and start, you'll get a bunch of people healed by faith and because they believe God, but you'll find it won't be very long until the power of God will be manifest through you. Are you listening to me? That's gifts of healings. The four of them, gifts, which are diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, and gifts of healing, are gifts that belong to the church, available to every believer in the church. All right, speaking with tongues, then let's sum it up, are used in various ways, but in essence, it's the one and the same. The tongues are manifest when one is baptized the Holy Ghost. Tongues are manifest in speaking to God in worship or prayer and song. And then, of course, tongues are used in addressing the church along with interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues is a supernatural revelation or showing forth of that which was spoken with tongues. Now, it's not translation, but just what he said, interpretation. It's interpreting what God said, explaining what God said. It's not for a few, it's for all. Prophecy is usually considered to be speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in one's own language, sometimes a special utterance. Preaching the Word of God under the direction of the Spirit and unction of the Holy Ghost is also prophecy. Are you listening to me? 1 Corinthians 14:31, you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Notice the word all there? All. Who does all include? A few? Huh? See, a good testimony, indicted, anointed by the Holy Ghost, is prophecy. Amen. Now, to predict the future is usually not in prophecy. Not in prophecy of the New Testament, you see. Prophecy of the Old Testament was more foretelling. But prophecy of the New Testament is forthtelling. Now, when you get over into predicting the future, you're getting over into the Word of Wisdom, which is one of the administration manifestations. Are you listening to me? So those four are available to every believer in the church. I realize that's a new thinking for a lot of folks, but it helps us sometimes, praise God, to get out of the old rut we were in. Now, I notice this then, as we go just a little bit further. And administration, you see, because it said that there are diversities of gifts. We've identified the four that are gifts. The next verse said there are differences of administrations. The next verse says there are diversities of operations. And administration is an act of the Holy Spirit by which he exercises care for the worker, either for his own well-being or through him for the well-being of another. And administration also is used to aid the worker in service by exposing hidden activities of Satan as he seeks to oppose the spread of the gospel. Or it's used to expose a hidden sin. Now, many of those will come under the word of knowledge or discerning of spirits. Those are not gifts that are available to everyone. The administration as the Spirit wills. Are you listening to me now? Now, I know in my own experience, the very first manifestation, and you see, I never had any of these until after I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, though I was born of the Spirit, had the witness of the Spirit. But immediately after I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues, I mean, just a matter of the very next week. I was asked to preach in the church where, a full gospel church, I was passed out in the country as a Baptist boy preacher. And just as I closed my sermon, I never had anything like that before in my life. I closed my Bible lesson and started to pray. Had my eyes shut, and they run off in front of me. See, you're seeing with your spirit now. And I saw a person in the congregation. They were a new convert, just got saved in the recent revival that had just closed last Sunday night. They're about 2 weeks old in the Lord. But they were forced into sin, into wrongdoing. They didn't want to do wrong, but they were taken advantage of. They felt like now, you see, their spirit condemned them. Well, I've sinned because they were forced into wrongdoing. God don't love me anymore. I began to say it in a way that that the rest of the congregation wouldn't understand. Yet I said some things that they would understand. And while I was yet talking, they ran down the aisle and fell in the altar. Now, they'd gotten saved in the recent revival, but not filled with the Spirit. By the time they hit the altar, they're talking in tongues. God not only forgave them of their wrongdoing because they weren't responsible anyway, they're forced into it. And filled them with the Holy Ghost and restored them. You see, it was given administration. It's an act of the Holy Ghost given to help someone else or someone in need. I was preaching down in Alabama. Now I'll skip over from 1937 now to 1950. And all the time you'd have occasionally those kind of things happen. I was preaching down in Alabama in one of the Assembly of God churches. Actually, there were several Assembly of God churches, two or three churches of God. And I think one independent church, several churches sponsored and helping sponsor the meeting. Well, I began to minister in some of these ways, and they hadn't seen that before. They should have. The Holy Ghost is the same, but some reason or another, in some way or another, they haven't. I didn't know what was going on. Nobody said a word to me. But one of this Assembly of God pastor said that the presbyter of the section, he was pastor also, said, I don't understand the way that fellow Hagin ministers. I'm going to pull my church out. This pastor had come from Texas. He said, well, he's in good standing over in Texas. People know him. God uses him. You just stay with him. Now, the very next night, I didn't know it, but here came a lady of his church. She came, she said, to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The minute I laid my hands on her. Now, sometimes you got to touch them before you'll know. But I got my eyes wide open. I laid hands on her, started to pray that she had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But right in front of me, it just run off like it does on a TV stand. TV, you see, right in front of you. And I saw her and another woman fighting on the street corner. And she knocked this woman down. She almost tore her clothes off of her. She jumped in the middle of her and beating her in the face with her fist and cussing her. As we say in Texas, you know, if you want to be nice, say cursing her. We say cuss. Cussing her. And finally, this lady that she was beating up finally got loose from her and ran. And then this lady that's standing in front of me to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, she started this way. And as I looked the way she's going, I could see down there about a block away a church across the top. It said Assembly of God. It's a frame, white frame church. There's a little white bungalow set by the side of it. I suppose it was the parsonage. She walked up on the porch. I knew it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I seemed to be standing in the aisle. I mean, in the yard. You know, and the sun shining bright. I can see the figure of somebody standing behind the screen door. They hooked the screen door when she stepped up on the porch. They took the door shutter and almost shut it. And she stood there and cursed that man who was the pastor I knew. I didn't see him. I just saw his figure. Cursed him because he wouldn't say she was right in whipping that woman. Now, I saw it just that fast, run right in front of me. I said, sister, you're not going to get any Holy Ghost. You're not going to get into baptism. I let her down easy. I could have just dealt with her very severely. I said, you're going to have to repent first and get right with God. I want you to know I'm as much saved as you are anybody else. Now, you've got to be very careful. If you don't know, then you better be careful. You ever notice me sometimes? I'll say, I sense this. This is me. I didn't say it's the Holy Ghost. Amen? But when I know, then I'm as bold as a lion. And when she said that, I said to her, just shout, I said, sister, you're a liar. I command you to shut up in the name of Jesus. You're a liar. I know it. You know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. Now, until you repent, you're not going to get anything. And don't you say another word. You shut up and go sit down. I mean, I spoke just firmly, sternly. And she went and sat down. Now the meeting's all over. See, I don't know anything. We're preaching down. Well, actually, I said 1950. Actually, it's 1952 down in Alabama. August 1952. And so the pastor and the presbyter came to me. Pastor brought him and said, Brother Hagin, he said to me, you didn't say to him, what do you know about that? The pastor said, now, Brother Hagin, I've told him. I haven't told you a thing. You've been in your room praying. I'd always tell pastors, don't you tell me a thing. Don't you tell me a thing. Don't tell me about anybody. The Holy Ghost will tell me. Praise God. Now, there's a very fine... I'm going to take a little side journey. Mind me taking a little side journey? I wish we had a month. Boy, there's so much that ought to be covered. Now, in the daytime, I'm talking about something else. These are supernatural manifestations. I want to show you the difference between supernatural manifestation and being led to your spirit. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. And everybody can be led. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you listening to me now? Now, a lot of times when I was there on the field going to church meetings, I'd take a young couple along that could sing, you know. And because you go into some of these churches, and instead of a revival meeting, you'd think it's at a funeral where they'd sing. I thought the other night, I said to Vip, when there's a playing here one night, I don't know. I said, this is not a funeral. One of the morning services, wasn't it? I said, tell them to play something more lively, bless God. Amen. We're not at a funeral. Amen. And so I tried to take a singer along, you know, maybe they could lead sing. His wife played the piano or something, or at least sing something special, you know, time you got by the deadheads, so we'd have some life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I see most of you do, especially if you're in the ministry. Amen. Well, a lot of times, we'd go into a town in Texas I'd never been before in my life. And they'd say to your brother Hagin, have you got the pastor's address? Well, I said, I got the church address in my case, attaché case, in the trunk, but we'll go to the church. You ever been here before? I said, no. We'd drive right up to the church. We'd come up the street, and I said, turn right here. They thought I had supernatural revelation. I followed my spirit. Wasn't no supernatural revelation at all. I followed my spirit. There's an inward intuition. It said, turn here or turn there. We'd drive up and they'd say, oh, you're bound to have been here before. I said, I've never been in this town before in my life. Never been in this town before in my life. A lot of times, see, develop your spirit. And that has a lot to do with our teaching today, sir. But a lot of times, you see, in those meetings, and I'm talking about revelation now. I'm talking about my own spirit speaking to me. Because I've trained my spirit in spiritual things, you see. And your spirit never sleeps. And I've gone to sleep, you know, not just once, but just sleep soundly, you know. And I said, well, I've got to get up. I mean, my, I just felt so refreshed. Get up, get ready for my morning service. But it was dark in the motel room. Well, of course, the had blinds that were pulled. But then, you know, I said, well, it's probably cloudy. And I said to myself, I wonder what time it is. And my spirit said, it's 4:00 in the morning. So I turned on the light, looked at my watch, 4:00 in the morning. That wasn't the Spirit of God telling me anything. That's my own spirit that never sleeps, you see. That's a development of spirit that every believer ought to have. I taught for the first time last year, and we're about to get into it on the second year group again this year, a new course that I call Spiritology. Oh, somebody said, could I get those tapes? Yeah, if you'll come to school, you can. Amen. The second year, I don't think you're ready for it in the first year, perhaps. But Spiritology, what is it? Well, it's a study of the human spirit. What is the human spirit? How the human spirit can be and should be developed, praise God, in every believer. Are you listening to me now? Are you following me? So then, back to Alabama now. Remember the story? We was there in Alabama. Don't leave you there in Alabama. My. Especially out there on the network, that, you know. So this minister said, this pastor said, the pastor, you see, that I stand with, said, I haven't told him a thing. And so he said, what do you know about? I told him exactly what I saw. I saw it. Just like I see you out there. Had my eyes wide open, but yet it run off right in front of me. Now, sometimes with your eyes shut, it's a spiritual thing in your spirit, you see. But he said, when I got down to the place where I said there was a man standing in the door, but it's 3:00 in the afternoon, I was standing, it seemed like, out in the light. And, you know, you stand out there in the sunshine, you can see. And when I said, he hooked the screen and almost shut the door. He said, that was me. That was me. That was me. My God, he said, we're not going to come back. We're not going to close this meeting. I'm not going to take my folks out. That's God moving. Thank God for the supernatural. The supernatural ought to be working in us constantly. Are you listening to me? But that goes along with administrations. And it's manifested as the Spirit wills, not as I will or not as you will. You can take advantage of these things that belong to you and claim them and act in them and move out into them. Are you listening to me? But you see, with the administration, it is or it ain't. Amen. You can't manufacture. Some of us will naturally have more of a manifestation than others because some of us standing in different offices that those particular administrations belong to. For instance, like the office of the prophet, you see. Are you following me? Now, before, the Lord said to me right here in the state of Oklahoma, I was preaching first in the state of, I've been to Oklahoma before, just on visit or something, but never preached in Oklahoma until 1950. And we had some supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost, the word of knowledge in operation. And in 1950, I did not stand in the office of the prophet, even though I had the word of knowledge operating at times as the Spirit wills. I did never stand in the office of the prophet till 1952. And so we had some phenomenal things happen. Well, they had a camp meeting in that part of the country, actually, Assembly of God sectional camp meeting. And so they invited me to preach a camp meeting in first part of August of 1951. And they put up a tent in Hugo, Oklahoma. And so I'm the speaker. Well, one night, for instance, just as I finished my sermon, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, point him out. I said, that man right yonder is a sinner, and he has a double hernia. Tell him that I told you to tell him. Come down here, and you'll lay hands on him. It'll be instantly healed. I said to the fellow, you right yonder. He said, me? I said, yeah. Stand up. He stood up. Step out in the aisle. He stepped out in the aisle. I said, the Lord shows me that you are a sinner. You're right so far, preacher. I said, he told me that you've got a double hernia. He said, right again. I said, he said, if you'd come down here and I'd lay hands on you, both of them would disappear instantly. Man, you never saw a fella. I mean, he never waited a minute. He came down there. I said, anybody know this fella? The presbyter, who was also a pastor, said, yeah, I know him. His wife's a member of my church. He told me, I said, he's the worst sinner in town. I know when he's operated on for the hernia and it broke out again. I knew it. I said, all right, you fellas, let's get four people, three people. About two or three would there be every word be established. Come and examine him and see if you can find. Does he have hernia? So three men came, and this pastor said, I don't need to, I know it. So he was the fourth. And they examined, they said, yes, he has a truss on. Double hernia. All right. I said, I'm going to stand here. I'm not going to touch him. I'm not going to lay hands on him. Here's a combination of word of knowledge and gifts of healing operating. I said, ruptures disappear in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now take him back by, we was in a tent, take him back behind platform men and let him pull his truss off. Trusses, one on either side. Examine him. Come back and tell us. They came back and said, DeGrom had disappeared. Amen. See? Now, another night, suddenly, just as I finished my sermon, I said, wait just a minute, Spirit of God speaking to him. One of you ministers, I don't know who it is, one of you ministers has a skin problem, something like an eczema or something like that. Doctors haven't been able to cure it. They say, we don't understand it. We can't figure it out. It's growing worse. It'll break out on your body, but at times you'll get embarrassed. You're a pastor, preacher, because it breaks out on your hands. And there's nothing medical science to do about it. The presbyter said, that's me. And he looked down at his hands, and he said, it all disappeared right then. When the meeting was over, he called me behind the tent. He said, Brother Hagin, if you hear anything, he said, you see, the sectional committee wanted you to come preach. I didn't understand all that the way you minister. And he said, I said, no, I don't want him. No. But he said, the committee overrode me. They voted for you to come. And I spoke against the way you minister. But I just want you to know that I asked you to forgive me. And if you heard anything, I said it. But from now on, I'm going to say the right thing. And I want you to come to my church and preach. Thank God for the supernatural. Now, I would lay hands on people with an anointing, healing anointing. That's not necessarily gifts of healing. So I want you to understand that, see? But I want to show you the difference. I'm ministering with that anointing that the Lord gave me as I sat on the platform. Here comes a lady. Now, my wife's standing there. She can tell you. Bear witness to it. Here comes a lady. I guess she got tired in the line. And so she was holding her little four-year-old boy, between four and five, under her arm that way, sort of like a sack of flour. Now, this is 51. They haven't got the polio vaccine yet. When he was 14 months old, he had the polio. Those little old limbs, no bigger around that, just a flopping like a rag doll. Now, I'm ministering with the ordinary anointing. I don't even remember this happening. I mentioned you know, concerning a happening over here in healing school. But Patsy said, Dad, why don't you tell all of that? And Beth said, yeah, that's right. You see, of the lady, and understand, and we missed it, I don't know whether they're still here or not. I understand that they were here at the beginning of the meeting. And she was healed and came to Raymond, graduated, healed of terminal cancer. I don't even remember. I said, are you unconscious? No, no. See, if you get over here in this realm of the spirit, I remember we was preaching one time in St. Louis, and I stayed back in my room and pray. That's the reason I like to stay back and just come out fresh, especially when I'm in crusades. And so, see, I was on my way into the crusade, and my son-in-law, Buddy, and Pat, and Ken Limette, all of them was helping us on that particular one. And a lady handed me a paper sack with some, what was it, silk handkerchiefs or scarves, or what was it? Huh? Silk scarf, see? Well, I don't ever remember her doing it. I have a fine. In other words, I come to myself. Now, I'm not unconscious. But you see, when I got into the service, I said to Buddy, I guess somebody gave me this. I guess gave gifts to the ladies. So each one of them took a lovely skiff scarf, you know. And we got back home. And the lady come back and said, where's my skip silk scarf? I wanted Brother Hagin to lay hands on them. Well, I don't remember her saying a thing to me. I just found myself with them. That's the reason I tell folks, you see, in the healing line, if I can move over, which I do sometimes about half into that realm, sometimes a fourth of the way into that realm, once in a while, not often, I'll be honest with you. I'm just as honest as I can be. Not often do I move completely into it. A lot of things will hold you back. The crowd will hold you back sometimes. Are you listening to me? But if I move over into that realm, that's the reason I don't want anybody to touch me. See, you think I'll look right at you. I never even saw you. You think I'm seeing here, but I'm seeing there. Are you following me? Oh, there's so little really that we know about the realm of the spirit. We've touched it a few times here and there. But oh, there's so little we know about it. And yet God wants us to move in that realm. You see, well, I had no... So Brother Buddy, my son-in-law, he wrote and told that he went out and bought some more, and I laid hands on him, you know, for prayer clothes. And he sent him to him. He said, Brother Hagin, over in that realm of the spirit, well, he doesn't realize. And people would say things. Actually, I don't want anybody to say anything to me in the healing line. Don't touch me. Don't bring me back over here into this realm. Because the further I can get into that realm, the more healings I'll have. The more miraculous things will happen. You see? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm just barely over there, maybe a fourth of the way, or barely there, sometimes halfway there, sometimes three-fourths of the way, and not often, mighty few times I've ever been all the way. I'll be honest with you, you get out there so far, sometimes you're now I don't mean I'm afraid like you're afraid of a storm or a snake, or but you almost get fearful that you can't get back. And it's absolutely amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I'm talking about, that's the office of the prophet, you see. But you move over there, you know, sometimes it seems to me. Now, not often, don't misunderstand at all, but when you move out far enough in that realm, it seemed to me that I'm standing right up above I'm hanging up there, right above the crowd, the congregation, and you look down into their hearts and their spirits. And oh my God, what all you see on. Oh, no wonder John Lake said he had it and prayed God to take it away from him, took it away from him. Because he is ministering with people that's so much darkness in their hearts. And you see right down. You can see everybody. If you move over there and start ministering, so many times people...